Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Child Whisperer podcast. I'm your host, Carol Tuttle, author of the best-selling book, The Child Whisperer. Thanks for joining me today. And the fact that you're even listening says to me that you're really committed to raising happy, successful, and cooperative children. And I'm here to support you with that. The phones are open today, and I would love to support you by calling in at 347-677-1963. And remember to press the 1 if you want to speak with me. The topic today is how to boost your child's confidence this summer. At the time of this live broadcast, we're moving into summertime, and there's an opportunity to spend, for most people, more time with your children. And so to keep a focus on boosting their confidence is a really great thing to set an intention for this time period. You tend to spend more time with the kids. But let's start with a success story. This came in from a type 3 mom, and she wrote, "I am a type 3 mom, and I was having trouble getting my type 4 8-year-old daughter to eat dinner. This has gone on for years. We thought we tried everything, but I decided to give her more responsibilities in the kitchen. She now makes her own sandwiches and packs her school lunch. She also helps me cook dinner by peeling a carrot or something simple. An amazing byproduct of this is that she now realizes how much work goes into cooking. And she said, 'You do so much for me, Mommy. I'm grateful.'" And our type 3 mom wrote, "Thank you, Carol. I'm so grateful for this information." So, you know, that would be the case with type 4 children when they understand they have a great sense of reasoning. When you can reason with a type 4 child, when they can see the bigger picture, they have more commitment to being cooperative because they understand the reason behind it. A lot of times, type 4 parents will try and reason with children of other types, and it doesn't go so well. But with type 4 children, it is a motivator for them. And so this mom helped this little 8-year-old child see the bigger picture of what goes into meal preparation and all the steps and parts to that. And this little girl's more cooperative now because of that. More vast and broad understanding. Let's look at now with our topic today, how to boost your child's confidence this summer. To give you a tip per type that I think would be a nice reminder. They're real short. So take a note that if you have this type of child, this is a real quick reference to say what helps just in the day-to-day interaction. What just without directly trying, it's sort of the indirect approach to boosting their self-confidence by the way you interact with them. So for a type 1 child, laughing at their jokes and affirming their ideas, just chuckling with them, being playful with them, and again, their ideas are just, they express them as they come to them. And that was an aha for me when I realized for my type 1 children, I had a tendency to think that the ideas that they had to follow through into actual execution. And it dawned on me one day, oh, let's just celebrate the idea for the sake of having an idea. It doesn't have to be anything more than that. It doesn't have to be executed. It doesn't have to come into fruition. It can just be, that's a great idea. That was just the celebration of the idea. How much can you do that with your type 1 child? Just, again, that boosts their confidence. Then for the type 2 sensitive child, and this is such a lovely thing to do for them, to make physical contact in your interactions in a loving, sensitive way, like taking their face in your hands and telling them how much you love them. or just connecting with them, taking their hand, putting your arm around them, telling them how much you love them and thank them for the gifts they bring to the family and to the world. My little grandson is a type 2. He's 3 years old. And when I was visiting recently with his family, anywhere we went, he wanted to take your hand. And he wanted to connect with you. It was something I noticed that was consistent for him. Anytime we went somewhere, he'd grab onto my finger or my hand. He was insistent upon that. And I just realized what a sweet thing that was, that he was wanting to make those physical connections. And one of the I'm going to add this in as sort of a bonus piece, is notice if you're overlooking them or they're fading into the background. This little guy's only 3, and his 2 older brothers we were planning a little outing, and there was this scenario of, well, do we have the 3-year-old stay home and take a nap, and I said to his mom, you know, I think right in this moment it's better we don't overlook him and make him stay home, that because these kids are coming with me, that's a special thing. I'm not there on a regular basis. I said, would it be okay with you that we brought him with us? I don't want to overlook him. I said, that'll hurt his little feelings. And I don't want him to feel crushed and his feelings to feel, you know, I don't want him to feel sad that he was overlooked or, you know, he didn't get to come. And he was so thrilled. And it was we decided rather than go on the bigger activity, we took a short, we did a short activity to the park for 20 minutes. I said, let's just go to the park. I'll play with him. We'll take him. He'll have some fun. Then we'll just drive by. He'll come back to the house. I'll bring him in. He'll be able to get his nap, and then we'll go to our other activity. He was thrilled. That little boy was so delighted. And I could tell that his little type 2s, they're very sensitive, so their feelings they don't want to be their feelings to get hurt. They can't help it. So we need to be mindful of that in our interactions to help build their confidence. And then our type 3 determined child, do something with them, do a project, let them get in, you know, do something that might seem over the top, you know, like something you might roll your eyes at. Let them do it. Let them get their hands on that. And then, to whatever degree they accomplish it, make a big deal about it. Wow, that was amazing. Look what you did, or nice attempt, or way to go for it. You really put your all into that. So, or even give them a challenge for the summer. You know, if they're readers, if they're doers, depending on what do they like to do? Do they like to make puzzles? Do they like to read? Are they drawn to learning how to cook, depending on the ages? But how many new recipes could they try? You know, sit down and carve that out for them to say 10. You know, give them a goal to achieve, a task list to accomplish. And they'll be drawn to that. They'll be challenged and engaged by that. And that will boost their confidence. Then our type 4 more serious child, they need some one-on-one time with you, especially if there's multiple people in the household, lots of kids home from the summer. So carve out a time once a week in the summer just for them, even if it's in your home. It doesn't mean you have to go somewhere. Maybe it's in their bedroom. Maybe it's in a part of the house that you just decide that's going to be a private activity for you and your child, and give them your full attention during this time with no interruptions or distractions. Turn your phone off, leave it alone, tell the other kids. If they're younger children, then maybe you have to get a babysitter involved. But even if it's just for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, again, simple things make big differences. On a regular basis, these simple things make a huge difference in sending the message to your child. Why are these confidence boosters? Because you're recognizing your child's true nature in these moments. You're honoring the truth of who they are. That instills confidence. it's validating to them, and it says it's really positive being me. Self-confidence is a byproduct of validation from a parent, that it's safe to be me, it's honoring to be me, my parents see me for who I am. Naturally, the byproduct of that is confidence. And so little things build a foundation of self-confidence that carries a child into their lifetime. And they don't have to try and find that years later. They're given their support to experience that in their childhood. Just a heads up, we're going off air after this live podcast for 10 weeks. We're taking a summer hiatus. We'll be back on the air live. So this is the last live show to actually have a live one-on-one call with me. So please call in at 347-677-1963 and ask your questions. And then we'll be off the air. And it'll be a great time for you to do makeup podcasts. Listen to recordings. Set a goal, set an intention that you'll listen to one podcast a week. You'll get 10 podcasts in this time period, and it will be life-changing for you. I think we're coming back on air on August 17th. My producer and I, we've got some other child whispering things that we're going to start working on that I'm not going to tell you what they are. We'll hopefully be in a position more to announce some new things that are coming the latter half of this year that I'm very, very excited about, that people have been asking for, that I'm going to get focused on during this summer break. Let's go into our questions then that were submitted by email. This mom writes, I am following your blog and have read a lot of your written work. I am from Norway and am a type 2. My question is about my 4-year-old type 4. He is very whiny at times and needs to be reassured a lot. Today he was making something out of tape and pieces of paper. He does this often and finds a lot of joy in giving his creations away. We always praise him for this. Today he was trying to use thread on his craft, something he hasn't done before. He was struggling with the thread while I was busy cooking dinner, and he wanted my help. I tried to help him the way he wanted me to, but it wasn't the right way. I probably didn't respond correctly when I told him that if neither me nor him could do it right, maybe he should use the tape. I gave him the tape, and he was sad and unhappy. I walked out of the kitchen to get something, and then he came after me saying the words I hoped I never would hear. I am not good at anything. I responded to him that he is good at a lot of things and assured him of his talents, as well as telling him I love the things he makes. I also encouraged him not to give up. How can I raise him to believe in himself? You know, that's a very common practice that a parent will come right back at to a kind of, you're now saying, no, you're really good at things. So it's a funky scenario because, especially with a type 4 child, they're going to debate you. They actually like a debate. No, now you might invite them to debate you on this question of whether or not I'm good enough. So in a way, you're telling him he is incorrect. That's an incorrect assessment of himself. Now, but he's taking it as you're debating something he said, and you're actually saying, well, no, you're wrong, I'm right, because I'm going to tell you what's really correct here, even though I know you were correct in saying that. It's just it's a weird little thing that we get created with a type 4 child, that they don't want to be told who they are, even if it's a correct, it's correct information to say, well, no, you're a really good human being and you really are good at things. So what if you were to say in that moment, so you believe you're not good at anything? And he might say, yeah, I'm not very good at this. Well, anything's a really broad statement. So you believe you're not good at anything? See, this is a child that you can reason with. They're going to go, well, but that's absolutely not true. Well, so you're not good at anything, nothing. So you believe you fail at everything? See, I would exaggerate it. I would show them the exaggeration of that statement by agreeing with them and saying, okay, so what about this? Name something then they're pretty good at. You believe you're no good at that? Okay, now you've got their attention, because in that moment, they're just doing the all or nothing game of, if I can't do this, then I'm not good at anything. But kind of, you know, this is a way I could see myself doing this with my type 4 grandson, where I'd say, you're not good at anything. Wow, that must be really, you know, lousy to have to live life when you're so terrible at so many things. How do you handle that? He would get it. He would look at me like, okay, that's really extreme, Grandma. I guess I am good at some things. And then I'd try and get him to say it. Well, is that true? And he'd say, no. I said, you are good at some things, aren't you? Yes. Okay, so name 3 things that you know you're good at, that he'd name them. And then I'd say, I'd help him see the process that how he became good at things was to continue to practice, get better at it. You're not always good at the go, that you're not always good the first time that you attempt something. And because you know what he's saying is not true, and ultimately your child doesn't believe it. It's just don't take it so literally, because they're really not in that moment. It's just they're feeling this sense of, I'm failing. And so play with it in this way so they don't have this fear that, oh no, my child's really believing this, because I don't believe they are. It's just, you know, when my son would say to me, my type 4 son, I hate you. I hate all of you. I wish I could die. And he'd stomp off to his room when he was 8. I didn't take him literally that he really, what I was hearing was, he doesn't feel respected and heard. And I knew that enough, even though I didn't understand him as a type 4 more serious child, I knew he was sending us a message that wasn't about the words he was choosing. It was an emotional frustration. Your child's frustrated in that moment. And so work with it so he can start to experience, say, rather than saying, I'm not good at anything, and put himself down, say, I'm really frustrated that I can't get this to work. And then you can teach him that. Because when you finally kind of move him out of that kind of extreme, you can say, well, try saying, so what you're really frustrated, you can't get the string to work. So a more accurate expression would be for you to say, so it's more accurate to say, I'm really frustrated, I can't get the string to work. See, so you're using all these as teaching moments so that they manage the way they have emotional response with these sort of all or nothing statements, so that they'll go, yeah, I guess I don't need to say I'm not good at anything. And as a type 2, your tendency, see, how can I raise him to believe in himself? By believing in him, believe in him, don't go there with him, but you can re-listen to this and track what I've got, you know, the steps I gave you. And I think you'll see that you can move him out of that space pretty easily to see the bigger picture that was not an accurate assessment of things. Then the next question that came in, my daughter now 4 years old is struggling to live in her true nature as a result of being in the crossfire of my severe postpartum depression and anxiety. Now that I've overcome my challenges, how can I help repair our relationship? And how can I help her trust her true nature again? She and I are both type 1s. You just need to bring in a light energy and start moving like type 1s. Dancing, turn on music, get the energy up, make it light, bounce around, move the energy, get the energy moving in a type 1 movements, singing, dancing, get a little karaoke machine, let her sing to it, music, a type 1 beat, bring that into your space, move with her, get the energy moving, and it'll start to lighten up. Then this mom writes, my type 2 10-year-old daughter is so insecure. She literally shrinks when boys her age walk by her. She refuses to speak at all and looks at the ground when people she doesn't know very well address her. How do I help her to hold her head high and know that she has a place in the world and that she's so beautiful and valued? I'm a type 4 mom. Well, this one is needing time. If you've just learned this about her, don't tell her it's okay to feel those insecurities. Give her the time and support she needs. She doesn't want to feel this kind of anxiety. It's embarrassing to her. And so don't set her up in those situations to try and get her to do it in front of people. She just want to shrink away. So be really careful and sensitive to handling, bring her close to you if you're with her with other people. Let her look to the ground. Hold her. Don't try and make her energy be an extrovert energy. Ask her what you could do to help her. Is there anything that happened that was wounding to her in her past? Is there anything that embarrassed her that now makes her super self-conscious to, anything happened when she was really little? Let her talk about it. Don't try and fix it. Let her start to express her feelings and just validate her fear. Rather than, it's a really important piece that you honor her emotion, honor any embarrassment that she's had, anything that set her up to feel super nervous because she's still feeling connected to a past event that was really overwhelming to her. And so don't try and fix it. Validate and recognize what's going on for her first, and then work with her to give her the confidence to make it different, for her to have the confidence to feel a little bit of discomfort and put herself out there a little more. And the boy thing, she's only 10, I'd be okay with that. I wouldn't want my child to feel insecure around boys, but I certainly wouldn't care if my 10-year-old was highly interested in boys at that point. I'd love for that to be the case and say, they're just people. That there doesn't need to be this reference to making sure she's super confident with boys. Make sure she's starting to feel her confidence with any gender and anybody. And so the boy thing, why is there a focus on the boy thing in your question? I don't know. There may not be any reason for it. But take a look at that there's some old energy going on there about we have to, as females, show up a certain way around males. I would hope young ladies, young girls, boys would feel the opportunity to be themselves no matter who they're with, whatever gender it is, and to support that as parents. And again, it may take a little more time than you might feel you want to support it with. So last shout out, last call for any live callers. It may be a shorter show today, which is fine. Some podcasts just aren't as long as others, and that's great. The number, if you are listening and you have a quick question, 347-677-1963. It is a holiday in the United States, so people are pretty busy, but I want to make sure I got this in, this show in the docket for you to listen to in the archives. So I've got one more written question here that we can take a look at. This one came in from a type 1 mom. And she says, I'm a type 1 mom. My type 1 3-year-old daughter is such a joy. I rarely have problems with her. Her older brother is a type 3 6-year-old and gets into mischief wherever he goes. Lately, he's been saying, you love my sister more than me, or you're having fun with her and not me. I consciously make an effort not to favor one child over another. I honestly love them both the same, but my daughter's energy is so lovable. We just can't help but always cuddle and kiss her. My son gets a lot of love too from both of us parents, but somehow he also seems to find himself in trouble a lot. Not necessarily with us parents, but church teachers and babysitters. Because my daughter never gets in trouble, he feels like everyone loves her more than him. How can I help him feel loved and accepted by everyone? Well, my first clue that you are seeing his activities as a negative is you use the word mischief. the word mischief suggests that he's got an ulterior motive, that he's trying to be difficult, that he's more of a problem child. Now, if you had written me and said, my type 3 son, true to his nature, he's 6 years old, he loves getting into things and exploring his world, and he seems to always make everything an adventure. But you see, you're concerned, you know, consider the possibility that you're almost bringing some of this on for him, because you're focused on, my son is a problem child when others are, and this could be subconscious. I know you don't want to see him this way, but it's just that my son gets into trouble. So what if you got rid of that? He does get into things. He has a lot more energy to explore. And how are you helping those people that are working with him understand him so that they don't set him up for failure and expect things of this little boy that he's not ready to be able to successfully pull off in certain settings? Because you're talking about, if it's church teachers then and babysitters, these are people that are giving some degree of responsibility over your child. What have you informed them, and how have you given them the insight to be able to succeed so that they understand this is how we work with a child that has this kind of higher movement, that is very much their own person? That's a type 3 determined energy. And so change your perception, take away the word mischief. My son's an explorer, he's an adventurer, he's very determined. Put positive labels on this. He's picking up on something that's negative. It may not even be something you've ever said. He's just feeling the energy, and kids are highly intuitive, just like you were with your parents. You could sense whether a parent had an easier time with a sibling than with another child or with yourself. Children have great intuitive sense in their parents' preferences when they read their parents' energy. You were doing it with your parents. Your son's doing it with you. And so your words are not enough. What energy is he picking up on? I'm pointing out where he could be picking up on it, that he does see that he is not as favored, or is not, and you've even said it, that you do favor your daughter. You have an easier time with her. So again, it's an unspoken playing out. You then are trying to make up for it by the words, how you're speaking to him to make sure he doesn't think that the sister is favored. But the fact that you said you do consciously make an effort not to favor one child over another. I know you love them both, if you said, but my daughter's energy is so lovable and we just can't help it, always cuddle and kiss her. See, that energy is easier for you than your son's energy. He's picking up on that. And even though you're putting words to try and counter it, it's not enough. He's sensing that this is going on. So you've got to really look at the energy that you're putting out there that he's picking up on, and really change that. So thanks for calling in with that question, because I think a lot of parents do that and then try and correct it by, well, I want him to know I really love him, but wow, my daughter's just easier for me. You know, that's what he's reading. So thanks for all your questions that have been sent in. We've got a couple shout outs with our shout out program today. The first one is called Fun on a Dime. Fun on a Dime is two busy moms on a mission to provide inspiration for daily fun, easy recipes, and ideas to improve family life so you can enjoy more and stress less. So you can find these two moms at funonadime.net. And thank you for your shouting us out to your audience. And our second shout out today is Brooke Snow at Every Branch. Every Branch is an online school for creativity and life. Brooke is the creator of the soon-to-be-released Digital Detox Your Life online course. This course is all about how to live in harmony with technology. To learn more about the Every Branch School and podcast, visit Brooke's website at everybranch.is. And both these look like great resources for families. Check them out. Thank you to Brooke and to Fun on a Dime for your shout out for us. And I want to just again acknowledge Brooke's work, Digital Detox for Your Life, How to Live in Harmony with Technology. That's all, you know, we didn't need that 10 years ago, but I definitely can say that's going to be a great online course to help give guidance to, we're not going to get rid of technology, and we don't want to, but how do we put it into our lives in a balanced way when our children are literally growing up with so many screens and interactive online resources? So that's an asset in their world. I said to my daughter when I was visiting, their two little guys will play different games. You know, they can go to the Wii, to the internet, to playing Minecraft, to phones, iPads, you know, iPhones. And I said, it's so fascinating to me that we aren't far enough into this to really see how this being affecting the kind neurological development of their brains and how this can be an asset versus a detriment to our children, because they have a different neural pathway patterning that their brains are creating with so much interactive, very quick hand-eye coordinate, you know, when it comes to screens and interactive playing out. How is that going to be a great blessing to humanity to make, continue to support the conscious, the evolution of consciousness, that this is an asset? So I mean, I didn't have an answer for that. I just was observing that, going, there's a lot more of that going accessible to children than ever before, as far as interactive experiences with technology. So thank you for those shout outs. If you are interested in our shout out program, you can write parenting@liveyourtruth.com. We have certain criteria in order for someone to be eligible, but we love to share resources through the Child Whisper channels. And then for the two blog posts this week, on the Child Whisperer blog, you can find Which Parenting Story is Keeping You Stuck? Great post by my contributing writer, Kathy West, about old parenting stories that we might be replaying, recycling from our family, from stories we heard, how to free yourself to create your own unique current story as a family. And then on the Carol blog, a great post, 5 tips to create a job when you're unemployed or underemployed. And this particular 5-step process can be applied to anything you want to create in your life if you're not feeling fulfillment with any aspect of your life. So check that out at thecarolblog.com. And you can subscribe to The Child Whisper on iTunes. Just click on the link in the copy of this show, and you can go to iTunes and subscribe to have the weekly podcast sent to you. And remember to go to facebook.com/thechildwhisper and join our growing community in the Facebook world, where we also have dedicated private groups for parents of each of the 4 types of children that you can request to have membership in. Thanks for joining me today. I look forward to a great summer, and you to have a great summer. Remember, 1 podcast a week. Catch up with 10 podcasts. You're going to learn and have a different summer because you're listening to 1 podcast from the archives every week to make this an amazing summer and to continue to create the child whispering family that you have been creating. I appreciate being able to support you in this medium. And thanks for sharing the Child Whisper with your friends and loved ones, and for taking time to go to the Child Whisper Amazon page and leaving a review. I always appreciate beautiful, fabulous reviews that people write about this wonderful book. Thanks, and we'll talk to you soon.
As a teacher, healer, speaker, best-selling author of The Child Whisperer, and mother of 5 children, Carol Tuttle is honored to help you take the power struggle out of parenting and better understand the children in your life. If you'd like Carol to answer your question, call in next time or email your question to parenting@liveyourtruth.com. Carol invites you to learn more about the 4 types of children at thechildwhisperer.com and connect with her at thecarolblog.com. If you haven't read The Child Whisperer yet, get your copy through the Child Whisperer website and enjoy happier, more successful, more cooperative children.